Emma and Lily are ready.
At Maplewood Elementary School, the first grade teacher reins in her class of about 25 kids for a writing lesson.
I'm going to write a sentence on the board, and you are going to find...
Daniel is a tall 6-year-old with jet black hair. He also has autism and has trouble paying attention. A teacher's aide helps him follow along with the lesson.
No!
Raise your hand, please.
Daniel, am I missing something else?
Tell her.
Period. I don't need a period, do I?
Yeah!
How come?
Daniel is with the multi-age class most of the day. When he has a meltdown, the other kids don't seem to notice. Laura Bastikas is the inclusion facilitator at Maplewood. Bastikas says she's seen other programs where kids with autism were in a classroom with kids with autism.
If they need someone to be able to model turn-taking or asking for something that they want and no one in the classroom can do that, then it's a lot harder to teach them that versus if they can just observe it happening in the classroom.
Daniel sits in a chair and desk, just like his peers, but he doesn't always do the same work.
What is Mike doing today? Mike is what?
For example, while others are composing sentences, he's drawing pictures. His teacher's aide writes the words, and then he traces the letters.
What do we need to do when it's time to write?
Time to write.
When it is time to write.
Time to write, time to write.
He speaks, but also uses an iPod application that converts symbols to speech. Ray Sonnemeyer is with the Institute on Disability at the University of New Hampshire. Sonnemeyer says that teachers can design a curriculum that's universal for different learners. And it's important, she says, not to presume what kids do and don't understand. That's why special educators resist using terms like low and high functioning to define autism.
What we really want to be focusing on is what their talents are. And so many adults on the autism spectrum who, when they've been given a means to communicate, have shown us that they were paying attention, that they were learning in the classroom, even if they weren't able to demonstrate it at the time.
Sandy Glover of Merrimack is the mother of a young adult with an autism spectrum disorder. When Curtis was a toddler, doctors weren't sure if he would ever speak. Today, he's finishing his senior year of high school while also attending Nashua Community College. Despite her son's progress, Glover is not a proponent of inclusion education.
Inclusion is not black and white. It is the biggest gray on the planet. I think that it is imperative that Curtis today has full inclusion. When he was little, I think it would have been horrible for him. The other kids would not have gotten any of the attention they needed. And that's not fair to them. And it wouldn't have been fair to Curtis to expect another 5-year-old to understand that.
But does a young child need to behave like everyone else?
There is no harm if an autistic child or adult is allowed to hand flap or rock or otherwise stim. Those are things that often are meaningful to us and are helpful in dealing with the outside world and in coping with stress or anxiety or expressing excitement for us.
That's Ari Netamon. He heads the Autistic Self-Advocacy Network. Netamon promotes inclusion as a civil right. He says it's the people who don't have autism who put too much focus on becoming normal.
Students with disabilities are done a disservice, and this is the case, I think, particularly in the autism world because of that historic focus on normalcy instead of on quality of life.
Netamon has Asperger's, which some would call a high-functioning form of autism. Language wasn't a primary problem for him, but other kids have severe developmental delays. Michelle Waldron teaches kids like that at a public school in Hudson. Waldron says inclusion isn't all that clear-cut.
You want them to be included, and we include them as much as possible, but you also want them to get that instructional time that they really need. And sometimes when they're spending a lot of time in a classroom that's working on things that are not at their level, we need to decide to pull them from there for more time to work on things at their level.
Waldron says it's not easy to find a balance, but that's what schools in New Hampshire will have to do in the years ahead. In the last decade, the number of children diagnosed with some form of autism has risen 300%. For NHPR News, this is Cheryl Richkern.